Welcome in to a live edition Q&A for the top guys and gals for ad-free shows. And we are joined tonight by our very special guest, the one and only Mr. Jim Ross. Good old JR, how are you, sir? Always good to see you.
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. And we are all excited to have you with us. You got a busy schedule, so appreciate you joining us. I know they've already got some questions in the chat. Y'all know the drill. Keep your mic on mute. Send me a question over in the chat, and I'll get to everybody tonight. Let's get it cranking. Josh Henney, you are up first, brother. You're in the spotlight with Mr. JR.
Well, hello, Cassio. Hello, JR.
Hi, buddy.
I am so happy to finally get to visit with you on here. You've been a long, long hero of mine in wrestling personality. So I just appreciate you, and I'm so honored to be able to be here and talk to you. So I have a football question for you today, just to get started off. So I am in Western Nebraska, and I know how much those Sooners are to you and the Huskers are to me. Obviously, you guys are changing conferences. We've got this new coach. I just wanted to get your input on what you thought of Matt Rhule and how you see Nebraska's chances, and then how you see Oklahoma's chances in the next year.
Well, that's a great rivalry. It's too bad that the teams don't play every year. That was a Thanksgiving weekend spectacular for my lifetime. They got a good coach. They got to let him recruit. He's got to master the NIL. Kids are going to get money, which is fine. But I think they got a good coach. And I think it'll take him a year or two to continue to stockpile some recruits and get his system in place. He's got to find players. Uh-huh. It's a tough league. No doubt about that. So I think they'll eventually do good. Like I said, the coach is good. He did a good job at Baylor when I was in Oklahoma more often than not. They're in our league. He recruited well. He coached well. So you should feel good about that. Sooners, who knows? It won't be easy in the SEC. Everybody knows that. That's not a revelation. But nonetheless, we'll compete. We'll compete. The recruiting's done really well. Top 10 recruiting class last couple of years. So all good, man. It's all good. But I appreciate the football question.
Yeah, absolutely. And my thoughts are, as long as you guys beat Alabama every year, we're all good.
That's all we got to do. We play Alabama and Norman in November. So that should be an interesting matchup. With a lot of crimson in the stadium that day, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to have a lot of Nebraska Huskers cheering for Oklahoma anytime they play. I'm just saying, sorry, Cassio. That's just how it is.
You're fine with me. I'm not a Bama fan. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Aren't you at LSU?
Beat them down.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you for your time tonight, JR. We appreciate you. And
sorry I was late, Josh. So thanks for the questions.
No, you're good. We're just hanging out. So
thank you, Josh. As I get to the next one, I don't know if you saw 14 Buffalo, Colorado players went to the transfer portal today, JR.
Really?
14.
That's going to be kind of a rebuild for Odeon, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a big one coming up. Travis joined us from England, and he messaged us and wants me to read you a question. He said, hey, JR, Trav here from England. Can I ask a favor, please, JR? There's four of us here in England who watch all the wrestling together. We've been doing it for 30 years, but our friend Richard no-showed Mania this year. Can you go red ass on him and let him know in no uncertain terms he better be at AEW All In with the boys this summer?
Yeah, that's right. Don't stiff your buddies, for God's sakes. Hope you had a good excuse. Maybe you did. But these are opportunities that going forward and down the line, you look back on and say, that was a fun experience. So get your shit together and join your crew.
There we go. Coach Rosie, you are in the spotlight, brother.
Hey, JR, what's going on, buddy?
Not much.
Good to see you. Hey, we're having a little bit of a school carnival here tonight, and we got a bunch of food trucks, and I know that you traveled the the world of different fairs and different events. What's your go-to at a food truck or a roach coach? I know they don't have them very much anymore, roach coaches, but
Mexican.
Mexican.
Mexican food trucks are the best.
What do you get on a Mexican food truck? Tamale, the burrito? What's your go-to?
Tamales, tacos, burritos. Nothing fancy. I'll go by and get it and take it, bring it home and eat it. Pretty simple.
I'll hit you with a football question. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I'm an Arizona State guy. Yeah. What do you think the Pac-12 teams are going to be able to do in the Big 12? Are they going to make an immediate impact, or is it going to be a couple of years of?
I think it's going to be a couple of years of getting their shit together, as I said earlier. It's going to be tough. That whole thing got imploded. It's too bad. They lost a lot of tradition when that happened. But nonetheless, we'll see. We'll see how they do. There's great schools going to the Big Ten, Southern right. Cal for one, for example. They're due to have a great year. I'm not a big Lincoln Riley fan anymore, but in any event, we're pulling for everybody to do well. College is a great game, man. Great game. I have a hard time criticizing any college because I watch it religiously on the weekend. I consume a lot of football. Like right now, I consume a lot of wrestling. I found myself the other night standing up. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning watching. Wow.
Women are.
Well, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I'm insane. I don't know how I did that. And I laughed. It's like a comedy. So it's just fun. David McLean's hilarious to listen to. He's trying to be so serious. God bless him. He's been around forever. But I watched it because you never know when some of those women skill sets elevate to the level where they might have a shot at working in AEW, for example. So I just familiarizes me with them, and I support the business is basically, I'm not a tribalist or whatever the hell that new word is.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I can't wait for your book, JR. I pre-ordered it. And, when comes out, I'm going to really get into it. Cause I know you always pour your heart out into your literature and,
yeah,
and you always keep it real.
On Tuesday, when I get back from St. Louis, I'm going to start going to the studio, and I'm going to start reading the audio version for audible.com. So it'll be available on audible.com in a few weeks. I'm not sure what their turnaround time is. We're proud of this book. It's a quick read. Dave Silva read it. Conrad, it's a short read. It has short chapters. So I said to Conrad, it says great for bathroom reading. I think that's where it keeps the book.
Sounds good to me. Good to see you, JR.
You bet, buddy.
Right. Yep.
Thanks, Coach Rosie. Appreciate it. Now's a good time. I was going to tell you anyway, but I will say this. Everyone pre-order the book. If you've read his other two, you know it's a must-have. And like Rosie says, you put your heart into it, JR. I will tell you this. I was driving around doing comedy about a month ago, Arkansas and Missouri, and it popped up on my feed. It suggested I listen to Under the Black Hat. I'd already read it, and I thought, you know what? I'm driving. I know I enjoy the book. Let's go ahead and give it a listen. I wasn't even thinking that you were about to be reading it. It was one of the few books I've ever just did a pure audio book. It's almost like a different book. We get to hear your inflection and hear your tone and where you're coming from. So I suggest if you've read the past books, I would also suggest, since you just said you're about to go in the studio for the new one, go listen to them as well. It changes some of the stories and that you feel, get a more feel of those stories.
Yeah. I add a little bit, you know, I try to add a little extra seasoning, shall we say.
Yeah.
And I can go into business for myself cause I wrote the damn thing with Paul O'Brien. So I got the autonomy to ad lib a little bit, and I do ad lib some, you know, it's just fun. So I'm glad you liked it, Cassio. I appreciate you. Yeah. Appreciate you mentioning that.
Coach Keith, we'll bring you up, brother. You are in the spotlight with good old JR.
What's going on, fellas? Cassio, JR, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks.
Good to see you. Now, it's funny. Now I'm going to ask you a football question. I didn't have a football question, but now that I'm going to piggyback off of everybody.
All right.
With the Pac-12 going to the Big Ten and the traveling schedule that they're going to have.
It's horrible.
What do, I think so too. What do you think about that? It's, you know, UCLA's playing, you know, at Penn State and stuff. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be hard on the kids, the staff, the families. They got to travel too. They want to go see their kids play football. So I don't like the geography. I just really don't. It's not taking everybody that is invested emotionally into the program at heart. So consequently, I'm not a big fan of that geography mess. I'd hate to be a parent and have to drive from California or fly to California to Pennsylvania, for example, like you illustrated. It wouldn't be any fun. It's too far, too much expensive. You got to, you know, plane tickets are not cheap. You got to rent a car. You got to rent a hotel. It's tough. So there's not any overnight trips where you drive to it and come back home, the way I see it.
Exactly.
So it's going to be tough on the kids and the families, and I think that's not really fair.
Yeah. So I have a Mid-South question. The last couple of months on YouTube, I stumbled on Mid-South 85, which was was a good year, and I'm looking at every program from 85, and I have to tell you, that was a good year, even though you didn't have Dog with it, you know, in 85, but 85 was a good year with Jake and DiBiase and Doc and Duggan and stuff like that. It was a good year, I think. But my question to you is, Cowboys version of Midnight Rider, what did you think about that?
Well, I hadn't seen the original Midnight Rider because that was during the territory days where programming didn't get distributed nationally. So, pardon me, it was kind of a new gimmick in my world. He just copied an idea that Dusty had. Mm-hmm. And Dusty, over the years, had copied ideas. They exchanged ideas. They're buddies. Two old redneck beer drinkers. But Cowboy and Dusty collaborated a lot, more than people know. So it worked out okay. It was a different presentation. Now, I've always said wrestling fans like new things. They like surprises. And, of course, nobody had any issues wondering who the Midnight Rider was. You can't camouflage a cowboy. He's who he is, and he's gonna. That's just how it works. So I had no problem with it. I thought it was kind of funny and kind of interesting.
So in '88, when you seen it again with Dusty, how did you feel about that?
I've seen this before. It worked then, and maybe it'll work again.
Sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate your time, man. Have a safe trip to St. Louis.
All right, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Keith. Appreciate you, brother. All right. Who we got next? Phil, you are up next with good old JR.
Hey, Casso. Hey, JR. How are you guys tonight?
Good, Phil.
Great.
Good, good. JR, just congratulations on your third book. I know I will probably pre-order it soon. I know I got your first two, and they're phenomenal. So I can't put them down. So
thank you, Phil.
Looking for your book there. Kind of a two-part question. The first question is, Sting's last match there at Revolution, how is that to come back to call that final thing? And also, what do you think of his final run in AEW? You know, he's over 60. I'm not sure the exact age, but I thought it was phenomenal for his age and the way he looked, his presentation.
It was extraordinary. It shows you the class that Steve Borden has, and he's still in great shape. He's not dependent and never has been on drugs and alcohol. That helps him a lot. Makes more clear decisions. I had a little disagreement with my surgeon that did my hip replacement, in as much as that they operated on me and they didn't schedule a follow-up, which is partly my fault too, but you'd think that the doctor and his staff would schedule a follow-up. They didn't. So I flew to Greensboro. I knew I was uncomfortable. I was hurting like hell. Thank God for pain meds. So I flew, and I didn't realize until I got home that I had 28 staples in my hip. They forgot to tell me. Yeah, that's not a surprise, right? So I have a nurse that comes twice a week to my house still. And he called the surgeon's office, and they gave him permission to take out the staples. So I laid my fat ass on the bed, and he had a pair of pliers, and he sniffed all of them. There were 28 of them. So that means there are 56 pieces. And I flew to Greensboro with those frigging staples in my hip. I wouldn't have changed my plans. I was going to go do the sting thing if I had to go in an ambulance. But nonetheless, it was not a good surprise to get. Oh, by the way, how's that staples thing going? So I finally, I seen the doctor. We had a heart-to-heart talk, which is not real pleasant. And he's telling me that my hip should heal soon. But boy, it hurts. It hurts. And I probably hurts more than I let on, but I'm just kind of used to it. And, but it was challenging. Thank God the staples are out. I don't know if I'll even take my walking cane with me on this next trip, to St. Louis. I'll probably will just out of safety. My nurse yesterday said you should take your walking stick just in case you get fatigued or whatever. And so you're better safe than sorry. So that's probably what I'll do, but I'm working on it. That's just. It's a daily. I've been working this damn thing. I've been under doctor's care for over a year. I'm tired of it. And I just gut it out and stay positive and say it's going to get better. And there's two, I got it worse than me. And they do walk through the airport sometime. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm not ambulatory. So, but it's been challenging, but it's getting better and I'm getting better and I'll kick ass on Sunday.
Excellent. No, that's good to hear. I'm glad you're getting better and look forward to Sunday. And thank you both for your time today.
You bet, Phil. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks, Phil. Always good to see you, brother. Who we got? Jared, you are next.
Thanks, Cassio. I hope you're proud of me this time. I actually had a real name listed instead of J iPhone like the other day.
That was your name. Good to see your name.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for joining us here tonight, my man.
Thank you.
Two quick questions for you. I was curious to if you're familiar with Joe Dombrowski and his work as an announcer and what you think of him.
I'm aware of Joe. I haven't heard a lot of his work enough to make an intelligent decision. That's the story of my life anyway, making intelligent decisions. But you know, he's trying, he's working all he can, and that's what he's got to do. Just keep getting reps. So, I wish him the very best of luck.
Yeah. I run a small promotion out of Cincinnati and we have him do our shows.
Cool.
He drives in from Pittsburgh for those. He's awesome. We love him a lot. So, good. Yeah, we're rooting for him to get his name out there a lot more and, you know, hopefully get some more, exposure and up the ladder a little bit.
Yeah. Put more of his work on social media so it could be more accessed by more people. And maybe you never know when you're going to get discovered, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I know, you know, so earlier there was some Mid-South talk. I was curious, have you guys ever done any type of kind of reunion show, like, you know, with you and DiBiase and Duggan and those guys, like a, you know, maybe like a Q&A event or, you know, something together?
There was a Mid-South reunion down in New Orleans. I can't remember when it was. It wasn't recently, but it's hard because there's so many, you know, I'm doing a bunch of appearances coming up this summer and, that market is real fertile. A lot of people are interested in, appearances. It's a great way for a lot of the older talent to make a payday, legitimately. And I love that part of it. I guess a chance to make another payday is a good deal because you got to understand that. Unfortunately, the majority of the older guys are perceived as stars, didn't save a dime.
Yeah.
And they need a payday. And so if I can do something to help facilitate more paydays for those cats for all they've dedicated themselves to do, it's the least I can do. And I enjoy meeting the fans. It's a pretty good deal. But on our podcast and on social media, we'll have a lot more information on these appearances coming up. And I enjoy the hell out of them. So. Maybe I'll see you guys at one of them.
Yeah, we had Ted at a show last year. He was awesome. So it was great having him there.
Yeah, Teddy's a good guy.
Yeah. All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Jared.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate you, brother. Matt P., you're up next.
Cassio, Jim, how are you guys?
Great.
See you, Matt.
So, Jim, question is, so over the years, we've seen a lot of crossover from the NFL football side to the professional wrestling world. Is there a back in the day, any of the old school defensive players, is there any particular that you thought maybe could have crossed over that you would have liked to seen that could have kicked ass in the ring as much as he did on the field?
Well, Lawrence Taylor would be in that conversation. Lawrence is just such an amazing athlete, and Lawrence was driven to be really, really good at anything he did, whether it was taking cocaine or playing football. LT was the man. I partied with him a lot. He was like being around in New Jersey, in that area, in Giants territory, shall we say, he was a god. And his performance, at WrestleMania, what was it, WrestleMania 10 or something like that, was extraordinary. I mean, you can't believe a guy could be that good that quick. But Pat Patterson had a lot to do with the training, and like everybody, it was all hands on deck. But LT was a natural, personality wise, attitudinal. He was one of those guys you couldn't take your eyes off of. At number 56 on the football field was the focal point of the whole damn game, for many years. So, I think LT would have been great. I'm sure there are others, but he's so good. And so he stands above, those guys to me. So, he's extraordinary. He was extraordinary, no doubt.
Do you think it was more of the WWE not wanting to do more with him after that, or was it him not wanting to pursue?
He wasn't reliable, Matt. You can't be half-assed into drugs and alcohol and consider yourself reliable. That don't fit. And so I said many times, probably and arguably, the most important quality an individual can have to turn my head to get me to hire when I was in that role was reliability. If you can't rely on somebody to show up ready to work, it's a tough hand. You might want to reevaluate your selection. So, reliability is a big deal. And LT wasn't reliable, and I loved him. He was a fun guy to be around. My God, he was a legend, great stories, but he had, you know, he was the one thing he didn't beat was, he beat every left tackle in the NFL for years. He couldn't beat his drug and alcohol habit. I hope maybe he has now. I'm out of touch with him. I don't know, but hopefully he is. Good guy. I liked it. I like being around him.
Right. Fair enough. Thank you, sir. You will forever be the GOAT. Appreciate the time.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. While we're on that topic, JR, did you ever find a correlation between positions in football and whether you thought they would be good at wrestling, or maybe the side of the ball, defense over offense? It seems like more defensive guys.
Yeah, not really, Cassio. You want to look for that reliability gene. They got to have a big personality. You assume that they're athletic or they wouldn't be coming from that background.
Right.
You know, you don't back into the NFL with half-ass ability, but it's attitudinal. Did you have the right attitude? Are you willing to work as hard to learn how to be a pro wrestler as you were to learn how to be a pro football player? And if you think it's going to be really, really easy, then you're probably not going to make it at all. So, there's a lot of checks, a lot of boxes you got to check off before you get hired or pursue that career. It's just a hard skill to learn.
Yeah.
The crowd psychology is huge. Personality, look, all those things are crucial. And, so there's a big checklist that you go over before you get somebody's name on the dotted line. Don't want to make those mistakes. And all of a sudden the guy's sore and you wore him down and then they don't want to come work out anymore. So I'm not a big fan of that. I think finish what you start.
Yeah.
Quitting is the easiest thing in the world to get good at. It really is. And you can't deal with those kind of guys. They're sore. They're tired. They're hurting. Wife's girlfriend's bitching at them, whatever. What's our life going to be like? Because there's so many unanswered questions and questions that can't be answered on the spot. They got to play out. So, I'm a big believer that you gotta check their character and their integrity. If they don't have that, I don't give a shit how big their arms are, how much they water, their hair down or slap their legs or whatever. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
You gotta have character and integrity And you got to be somebody that you feel good about putting in your locker room, because everybody in the locker room influences the other. And you want to be able to influence them in a positive way.
All right, let's keep it going. Bobby, you are up next.
Cassio, JR, how's it going?
Good.
We're down here close to Norman, Oklahoma, born and raised here. Yeah.
Where at?
Down here about southwest 134th between Penn and Western.
Oh, hell, you're out there in Oklahoma City area, right?
Yes, sir, right on the south side.
I got a home in Norman. I don't go to it enough, but I got a home in Norman. As soon as I'm able to travel a little bit more pain-free, I'll be going back to Oklahoma a lot more.
I love it.
Yeah, a lot through the summer.
Love to hear it.
See my grandkids, my daughters, and you know, my youngest daughter and her partner with my money are starting a JR's Black Hat Farms, which is a cannabis thing. And it's we're slow rollout, but I think we're getting ready to open a second dispensary in Tulsa. We already got one there. So, it's something to help her build her own business. I always believe that if I could financially help my kids while I'm alive, as opposed to kicking the bucket and then having them, you know, have a pissing contest over dad's will or what have you. So that's kind of the motivation behind that. Help my kids while I'm still around. I've done that with all of them, you know, college tuitions and things like that. So I'm a big believer and I had to catch up with that family thing, because I, for years, it's just all about wrestling.
Yeah,
this is my 50th year, so I mean, I had a lot of time to make mistakes and not spend as much time with my family as I should, and now I'm making up for lost time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, my wife and I have made the conscious decision that no matter what it takes on our end, that our daughter is not going to go to college and have student loans.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah, I mean, whatever it takes on that end is what we're going to do. My question to you this evening, sir, when Eric was forced to create Thunder and TBS didn't want to pay for it, and so he had to take it out of his existing budget and all of this and that, with his negative experience on that end, what was it like when Vince decided to create SmackDown and you had to come up with a bigger roster and the graphics and those sets and all of the different things?
Well, I wasn't involved in the graphics or the sets. So we had a whole team that did that, and they always did a hell of a job. I think the production of WrestleMania was nothing short of extraordinary. Fantastic. All the hundreds and hundreds of people it took to pull that thing together, the staging and lighting and sound and everything. It was just a piece of artwork. I had faith in Vince. I mean, he was paying me a lot of money to believe in him. And he let me do my thing. He let me hire talent. You know, I hired talent that he had never seen before. He had no clue who John Cena was.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena worked with Rick Bastion out there in Southern California. And I used to go out there and scout. And it was a nice little road trip. And spent a couple of days in L.A. It was always kind of fun. But John was training in that facility. I think he was doing some furniture moving or something like that. But I fell in love with John when I first interviewed him. He had great knowledge of the history of wrestling and amazing respect for somebody that had not made a paycheck yet in the business. So, but I believed in Vince, and it was a great TV deal. And the hindsight, it was pretty damn smart, because he just got us on more television, more exposure for the talent. Think of how many talents they would not have gotten the opportunity to become a star and millionaires if it hadn't been for that second show. They had to have a place to work. Everybody can't be on Raw. Even a marathon Raw, 3 hours. So it was, we believed, and for all the right reasons, we believed, and it's worked out fine. Look at it now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad it worked out for the positive for WWE and all the people that were concerned, because Eric on the WCW side, he didn't have as good a experience with that. So,
well, that's the difference in ownership. Eric had people he had to answer to. Vince had nobody to answer to but Vince.
Right.
There's a big, big difference there in making decisions and making, you know, getting ahead of the curve, or whatever you want to say. That Vince was, I put my money on him in that regard, because that was
absolutely.
He had a track record, and he, like I said, he called me in his office one time, and I cut my pay. I think it was around 50 grand a year. And that was startling. But, you know, my wife and I, my late wife, we lived within our means. We saved money, and it worked out fine at the long haul. And, but in the short term, it was a little scary. And I remember him telling me vividly that if you're loyal and you stick with me, you'll never regret it. And so that was before the company went public, and I got wagon loads of stock. I had to let it vest, meaning it had to mature to a certain point before you could cash them in or reinvest, whatever you want to do. And he came through with his word was good. He paid me great. I made more money. I mean, I was doing two jobs. I was head of talent relations, and I was lead announcer on television, and I was on the executive committee. I was hiring talent. I was booking the live events. So he was getting a good value out of OJR. I did a lot of, I carried a lot of water, so to speak, but I don't regret one bit of it. It helped me get where I am today.
Absolutely. I love it. And like you say, all, you know, high tides raise all ships. So let's go.
That's exactly right.
Let's go. Well, Boomer sooner, my friend. And get
all
well.
Right. Thank you. You too, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate you, brother. Let's keep it going. Greg Jacobson, you are in the spotlight.
Cassio, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
JR, nice, good to see you.
Nice shirt there, young man.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about the Pac-12 and Matt Rhule and Oklahoma, but all these guys took my question. So I've had the privilege of meeting you with each of your books, and you sign it, and I get to talk to you and spend quality time with you. And it means a lot to me. You've been a big part of my life, right?
Thank
like
you.
For you've been in the business 50 years. I'm not quite there yet, but not far behind you, you know? And I'm just wondering with the new book, I know you have pain and things going on. Do you think we'll be able to meet you?
Yeah. I hope I'm going to, first of all, as far as the books being signed, we're getting books shipped to my website in Oklahoma, and I'll go out there and spend a day or two signing, soon. Once you get all the inventory in. So, yeah. And then, when I do these signings, my plan is to have the promoter of the signings to make sure that he has books on hand so I can sign them and personalize them. I can't personalize them all at my website. It's just too big a workload. I can't, there's just too many. That's all you do. Sign your name all day, every day.
Yeah.
Not a bad problem to have, but you can't service a customer the way they think they should be serviced. You know, everybody runs to social media and bitches, and I don't like to hear that or see that.
Sure.
So, I'm service customer service oriented. And so anyway, that's, we're going to do that, but yeah, I have no issue. At my appearances, you'll be able to get a signed book personalized.
That's so fantastic.
Another
that couple of minutes one-on-one is just, it's everything. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
and I appreciate it.
You bet, buddy.
Thank you. Cassio, thank you too. I love you, man.
Good to see you, Greg.
Thanks, guys.
Before we get out of here, we're going to time for a couple more follow-up questions, and we'll get those in. Josh, we'll bring you back around, brother. You're back in with your second round.
Sweet. Well, I appreciate you having me back. So, JR, I was stuck on the football stuff today. My son just had a surgery this morning. He's a freshman in high school, very talented athlete. Of course, I'm a little biased when I say this, but, he is, these guys have kind of watched him. He's doing very, very well. But he tore his labrum in his shoulder and had that repaired. So he's going to be out his sophomore year playing football, in high school. And I think he'll get to wrestle next year. We're not sure just yet, but outside of that, I don't know how much you have dealt with like the recruiting on the football side, how much you pay attention to that, but any tips for him as far as.
Yeah. Get healthy. Take no shortcuts. Get healthy. A half healthy or 80% good is not good enough. There's no reason to chance further injury with our compensation injuries where you're trying to take care of that shoulder so carefully that you let something else go. So I'd make sure you didn't rush him back and he was healthy. Get his ass in the weight room and get stronger. So that's what I'd suggest. Don't rush it. Just take your time and make sure you're 100% rare to go.
Yeah. He's a motivated kid and he's on the recruiting sites for, you know, high school recruiting for colleges.
What does he play?
He plays a tight end right now. He plays on both sides, tight end and outside linebacker.
Wow.
His defense is amazing. He can, of course, his tackling is phenomenal with the, with wrestling background.
Where's he go to school?
In Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
So, Cheyenne Central. So, you know, kind of rural. So, you know, you don't get as much looks, but he's got his stuff posted out there. And
if you're good enough, they'll find you. Promise you. But you gotta be healthy. Gotta be healthy. And if not, it just starts. It could start a nagging chain of more injuries. Get healthy. And, but that doesn't mean, hey, if he's got a bad shoulder, that means he can't work on his legs.
Right.
Doesn't mean he can't do lower body stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he can't eat right. And he can't, you know, all those things. So he's still a lot of things he can do for himself athletically, even while his shoulder is healing, quite frankly. Right. That'll tell you how much he's dedicated to wanting to get to the finish line.
Yeah. He's determined. He wants to play college ball somewhere and just, he wants to rock it. So, you know,
wish him the best of luck. Keep him encouraged and get him healthy. Don't let him get dejected for the things are slow or sore or what have you.
Yeah.
It ain't easy. So I wish you the very best of luck.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you working on those hips. I had both of mine done when I was 32 and I know how much fun.
How long did you stay sore?
You know, I'm trying to think because they're 6 months apart. I had osteonecrosis in the bone joints. It seemed like a good year. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, I mean, I hope not. God almighty.
Just kill me now. Now I say sore. I mean, just to where it's not like the main pain went away pretty quick. That was like a month or two. Then, you know, just getting adjusted to that feel of the metal and, you know, and all that, that took about a year to where it just, you didn't notice it at all.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
but, so I got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Made my night.
I should have cut him off after the first question.
God almighty, Casio, you dumb bastard. You're punishing me for no reason. I thought we were buddies.
That's it.
Well, just prove me wrong and be well in like 3 months and we're good. So
I'll do my best. I'll hold up my end there, Josh. I promise you.
All right. Thanks, JR. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you. Get healthy too, brother. And one more from Trav before we go. He had another one from over in England. He said, hey, JR, what's your gut feeling on Vince McMahon making some kind of professional comeback? I heard there's rumors of a Saudi Arabia promotion.
Man, I don't know. There's a lot of rumors out there. We know that Vince has the money to fund any new business that he chose to involve himself with. I saw a video that somebody sent me the other day of him getting out of a town car or a limo type car. And he looked frail. And he was walking with a walking stick. I was going to text him and bullshit him, but I thought it better of it. You know, how much barbecue can a redneck eat? Take it easy on him. So, but I don't think he'll get back in wrestling. I really don't think he will. I think he's had his taste and he's got the money now. Somebody asked him what he was doing mostly. I guess he's traveling a lot. Somebody said they saw him at an airport getting off a private plane coming back from Turks and Turks.
Caicos.
Yeah. You ever been there?
I have not. I've been to Cancun and all that, but not Turks. I heard it's beautiful.
I heard the same thing. And so he's got lady friends. We kind of know that. That's not a secret. Yeah. But hell, he's mid-70s, for God's sakes. I would not be considering. I'm 72. And I ventured into this cannabis thing, this JR's Black Hat Farms, to help my kids. Both my daughters are shareholders. And one is the major shareholder. But you just find out when you get started that there's never enough money to start a new business. So I've invested a lot of money in that for those kids. And hopefully they're going to run with it and do well. As the laws change and we can ship out of state, I think that the business will jump off the page, because there's a lot of my fans that use cannabis for various reasons. We got a guy on staff that helps with all these, the different strains help different things. Just made that up. But I have some gummies that I take at night because they help me sleep and they're non-narcotic. And so the high, if that's what you want to call it, I don't think that's a good word, but the buzz you get from it is not, it's kind of hangover proof. And I'm not going to get hooked on my gummies like I would pain meds.
Yep. Yeah, you've got it right. They are, they've got everything down to a science. Whatever you're looking for, you want energy, you want to go to sleep, you want in between, you want, they got, you tell them what you want nowadays and they can find you something to take or ingest with it. So it's crazy how much that world has changed.
I haven't bought any flower, as they call it. I didn't know that till not that long ago, but just the buds. Back in the old days, that was a go-to, because you rolled your own joints, or I had a pipe, and that's kind of what I'd use to settle down and kind of level out. Now it's gummies.
Yeah.
They're just easier to transport. They, like you said, you can get them for specific things that you're specifically interested in. For me, it's basically relaxing and sleeping.
Yeah.
And I just rather do that as to get on a, I think I took Ambien for a long time. Bad shit, boy. You got anybody taking Ambien needs to reconsider that, because it'll make you hallucinate and a lot of things that you think, oh, not, it won't work with me. That'll never happen to me, by God. I watched a John Wayne movie last night. I'm tough. You know, so, but the world's changing, guys. It's changing. When you get a 72-year-old guy come on this and talk about weed, talk about pot, it's a different world. Different world.
It is.
So anyway, but I'm glad it's better than a lot of the alternatives, let me put it that way.
I joked on one of them. I don't remember which one, but I joked I had the pretty good riding car if we were back in the traveling days with the boys, my podcast co-host. My other podcast co-hosts are Road Dog, Mike Chioda, and Nick Patrick. So I figure we're all going to be in trouble by the time.
That's Cheech and Chong country. That's where you crack the windows and smoke just bellows out of the vehicle.
That's the whole trilogy right there.
Those are all good guys. All good guys. They all worked for me at one time.
Speaking of, if you covered it on the main pod, I apologize. I didn't get to hear it yet, but I wondered while you had you here, get your take on the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. I know you worked with almost everyone, if not everyone there.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on it?
I thought it was well done. Heyman stole the show. That's not a surprise.
Right.
And I was surprised that he actually mentioned being in his speech. Now, of course, he did it with a little dig, because that's just how he and I always worked. We're great friends, have been for years. People always thought we hated each other. We didn't. We don't. But our combination worked best when we had that visible, I would say friction,
yeah,
conflict. People like that. People like that kind of stuff, apparently. So I thought it was very well done. I the Heyman was the highlight for me, obviously. His speech was great. You know, people forget that when Paul was in WCW and I was there, he came in as a manager. And he's a really a good manager. He was really, him and Cornette were the top of the line, in my view. They communicated well with their talent. They did good promos. They had aptitude, which is crucial. Nobody on the booking committee wanted to work with Paul because he was argumentative as hell. And I told him one time on a trip we were on, I said, "God damn, man, you're so easy to hate." And I said, "That's really a compliment for a heel. You're a villain."
Yeah.
And nobody's going to yell at you, said this is awesome or whatever. They're not. You're a heel. You're a villain, which should make Cornette proud, because Cornette took a lot of pride in being a hated villain. And that was important to him and to Heyman. So nobody wanted to work with him. And we kept going through commentary guys, because the booking committee wanted to run that too. They wanted to, we'll get JR and somebody. Not asking JR, who he wanted to work with, is this person you're going to sign me with, will we have chemistry? How's this going to work out? Logical questions. But when you get a group of wrestlers that some of them never been used to being in a managerial position, not wrestling manager, but an actual administrator, sometimes you find yourself running into each other, and not comfortably. So, I said, I'll work with him. And that just took him off their hands, and it took another issue off their plate that they didn't have to deal with. JR's got a partner now. And Heyman and I worked together. I thought we were good. I really did. I thought we had good chemistry. We told good stories. At the end of the day, it's all about getting talent over, just like it is today. Somebody asked me yesterday, one of my buddies said, "Are you going to be in St. Louis?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to be in St. Louis. I'm going to work the pay-per-view, at least part of it." What do you call them? I said, "I don't know. It don't matter. It's the same stuff. It's what I do. It's a wrestling match." So my theory has always been, Cassio, if you put it on the monitor where I can see it, I can describe it. It didn't matter what it is. And after 50 years in the business, I should be able to do that. I'm not bragging about my abilities. It's I've got enough practice, enough reps that I should be able to do that. So whatever I call on Sunday, I still don't know today. Today's Thursday, right?
Yep.
So I love this. The trip's going to be fun. Seeing all the guys is going to be fun. All the talent from both the sides of the collision and Dynamite will be there. You see a lot of people I haven't seen since Greensboro. At least I'll go this time without any staples in my hip and not pilled up on oxycodone.
There we go. Well, JR, thanks for joining us. Before we get out of here, though, I want to make sure everybody knows where they can get that good old sauce and where they can pre-order the book.
Well, jrsbbq.com is our website we've had for years. It's growing exponentially. People are starting to develop a taste for things we sell. Some people are fans of the Chipotle ketchup, for example, or the jalapeno honey mustard, which has got 1 gram of sugar. And me being a diabetic, things like the sugar content is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I weighed, before I got sick and diagnosed the diabetes, and all the other little things that follow along seemingly to be a pain in the ass, I weighed about 245, maybe on a bad day, 250, if I had some pie or something. Today I went to the grocery store today and they have a big scales in the lobby of their stores. What the hell's the name of that place I go to? Anyway, big grocery store chain got like big scales in their lobby. I weighed 194.
Wow.
I haven't weighed 194 since I played high school football.
Wow.
And that's been a long, by the way, just so you, this will be a, come as a surprise. That's been a long time ago.
Okay. At least 50. So, we know you're 50 years in wrestling. So at least 50.
So, you know, I've been real lucky with this career, but and I don't have any regrets. It sounds funny. When we start talking about my health. My health is probably better today, Cassio, than it has been in a decade.
Wow.
Yeah. Weight wise. I get my vitals. My nurses come here twice a week. And you know, they do all my vital stuff, blood pressure, blood sugar, all this stuff. And I've learned to take care of myself better. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in about 3 months. I'm not bragging about that. It's just the fact that with the medicines I'm taking and the sugar I'm trying to watch, about the only thing you can drink that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it is tequila. And that's what I need to do, develop a taste for tequila and start drinking that like it's Kool-Aid or Snapple or something, you know? So I'm learning as I go. You can always learn. Even old dudes like me, other than don't let the old man in. Well, let me in. I want to be in.
Well, that's good to hear, man. Kicking ass better than a long time. And we get you to shake that hip. Don't listen to Josh, and get you to kick out of that hip soon. And we'll be good to go, man. Always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. I know you're busy. I know you're going through a lot. So I speak for everyone in here tonight. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate you guys. I'm sorry I was a little bit late. Be honest with you, I dozed off. And that's the thing about it. I get tired at the end of the day sometimes, just dragging my damn leg around. But, you know, I say this to people. When I go to the airport, I see older folks that are in a wheelchair that some of them, God bless them, don't even know where the hell they are. They're looking around like they're, you know, they don't know. God bless them. And I ain't got it that bad. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. It's just like I don't get there as fast. But I get to, I use every excuse in the world. I learned a lot of things from Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons would start limping about security. And then the time he got to his gate, he had his limp down. So then he could make those the great facial expressions that he always had and board early or even get upgraded.
Oh
yeah. He had a damn boy. He was smooth. So I can pre-board, I can get on early, but it's legit. And I'm not picking a hip or a bad back or a bad leg or whatever. So, I've learned to utilize the system that's in place. I used to hate staying in a handicap room with all those, little bars, the support bars, you know, in the bathroom, the handles that fit into the wall, help you get up, get around. Now I'm thankful for them because they just give me confidence that I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. I can pull myself up if I fall, because I've got these handles I can grab, and they're normally near an elevator or they're on the ground floor. So, I take advantage of my situation as best I can, but do it in a legitimate way. If somebody that was really screwed up and needed a handicap room and they asked me to give up my room, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Right.
Not a big deal. Just convenience for more than anything. So, in any event, all going to work out.
Well, you made it. Don't matter about the nap, until you're like Coach Keith and fall asleep during one of the podcasts. Yep. I said it, Keith, you're never going to live that down. I think you're all right with us. So,
oh yeah, he's good. He's a regular. Coach Keith's a regular, man. You couldn't run him off with a stick.
No, we couldn't and don't want to. So thank you, Coach Keith, Bobby, Josh, Greg, Rosie, everybody for joining us. We appreciate it. Matt, Phil, everybody hanging out with us tonight. And thank you, JR, as always. Thanks for being an ad-free show, family. To everyone involved, we appreciate you. I'm Cassio. We'll see you again next time. Don't forget our next live show, at least the one I'm involved in, is Tuesday with Lash LaRue. He'll be doing a live drawing for everybody. So hang
Ash
in there.
Ash Lash, when he's going to send me my cartoons. Because I want to get something that I could reproduce and sell at a fair price on the website. And I helped him back in the day. I saw him not that many months ago I think he's probably forgotten, but tell him I'm still interested in some JR artwork that we can reproduce and sell on our site. So he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He's talented as hell. I hope he makes it, not just because of me, but I hope he's got a skill that he needs to monitor. I told him that.
Yeah.
And you need to get your work out in front of people, because you can sell this stuff. You got to have a little entrepreneurial ability. He's an artist, and sometimes artists aren't as business savvy, aggressive. He's got to have that entrepreneurial spirit, but he's a good kid, and I hope he makes it real well. I know he's a big Alabama fan, so I don't hold that against him. So is Conrad.
Oh, you're surrounded by him accidentally.
I know.
Well, I appreciate it. We will definitely get the word to him. Josh, don't let me forget that. I know you'll be there, brother. So everybody, we'll see y'all again there Tuesday. And JR, once again, thank you again. I'm Cassio. We'll see y'all next time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.